Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So today we're reading from John 15, starting at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another.
Thanks, Laura. Let's bow our heads in prayer, everybody. Father, thank you for this great opportunity to come around your word. I thank you that you call us into friendship. That's really your desire and your heart for us as your followers. And so, God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures for us. Come and speak to us this morning and show us what it looks like to be a friend, Lord God. So I pray, Lord, that you would activate my mind to think your thoughts, that my mouth would be your mouthpiece, Lord God, and that our hearts would be prepared for what you desire to speak to us today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Can you go around and say hi to three people you haven't said hello to yet? Introduce yourself. Hi, my name is fill in the blank. So good to have you with us this morning. For those of you who are joining us online, let us know where you're watching from. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. We have two locations, one here at Central, and our Logan location is meeting right now with Pastor Henry and the team there. So we rejoice with what God is doing out there in Logan. We're in this series called On the Job, OTJ. And as we're going through this series, my heart for you as the pastor of this house is that we are prepared to see how God might utilize us on the job. Now, I recognize that some of you are not necessarily working. You might be still in school and so forth. But this is this pertains as to how God might use you wherever it is that God, whatever sphere that God has called you to. So last week we had Pastor Timothy Law all the way from our churches in Every Nation, Malaysia. And he comes from Kuala Lumpur, and he did a fantastic job about talking about how we can be a friend in the workplace or in our sphere of influence in our schools. And so I highly encourage you to go back, and you can rewatch the stream on Facebook, or you can go on our podcast at ianbrisbane.org to re-engage with that teaching. But today, I'm going to be talking about the importance of friendship, and we're going to be looking at friendship from a biblical worldview, okay? Because how many of you know that there's a difference between how we might look at friendship here in society in 2022 out in Brisbane and what the Bible might look at as friendship? How many of you would say, yeah, I'm sure there's some differences there? And so the question that was asked, or I'm going to reword or rephrase the question that was asked earlier, is that if you remember your first best friend, how many of you are still friends with your first BFF that wasn't so if? Because it's best friends forever, but it's best friends for a season, right? I'm not in touch with my first ever best friend. My first memory of having a best friend that was really memorable was I had an Indian friend named Bhavesh. And Bhavesh, we went to the same primary school together. And I used to always love going over to his house. We had an affinity for soccer, okay? The real football, you know, the football that where the ball's actually on your foot. Shout out to my friend Nathan here. He's an excellent soccer player. Any other soccer fans in the house today? All right, there's three of us. The rest of us prefer the overwall, I'm sure. And his friend, his family were Christian as well. They attended a Baptist church in the area, and so you know that's why my parents were like, "Yeah, go hang out with Bhavesh." I used to love the food that they made there. We'd have pretty deep conversations for 6 year olds. But the reason why this is going to sound really selfish, so this is confession time for your pastor. But the reason why I really loved going over to his house was that he had this thing. How many of you know what this thing is? He had, yell out what it is, for those of you who know what it is. Okay, it's called a VCR, okay? Well, video cassette recorder. How many of you don't know what this thing is? Okay. Look, my friend Josh is like, what is that, Pastor Nelly? That looks like a discovery from archaeology. So it wasn't just a VCR, but it was a top-loading VCR. How many of you know there's a front-loading, like your washing machine, and there's a top-loading where you put the cassette into the thing and then you push it down, okay? And so he had, like, again, I'm just going to say, I'm 47 years old now, okay? I know I look 25, but that's the glory of God, but not my regime. But, like, so when I was 6 years old, so this is 41 years ago, okay? This was the VCR at his house, and I used to find it fascinating because I was familiar with audio cassettes. Any of you remember audio cassettes, right? You slide it in, you push it, you press play, right? And then you can rewind or fast forward. You don't just skip tracks like all of you people that are on Spotify now. You had to fast forward or rewind. And if your rewind or your fast forward was broken, you know what you did, right? You get the cassette out, get the pencil, and do like this, right? You can't do that with a VCR, with a video, right? So you had two formats for the video cassette. You had VHS and Betamax or Beta, right? So he had the VHS one. Like, and I remember watching so many movies at his home. You know, those of you who know me know that I love movies. I love film. And I remember developing my love for film. This was one of the reasons why, was because of my friend Bhavesh's VCR, his top-loading VCR. And if you notice, in this picture, I don't think you can see it, this is how old school it was. It didn't have a digital counter. See, this one has an analog counter where the numbers go round and round and round. You know, and then if you want to reset it, you push the button and it goes back to 0000. So that's like old school. That's so old school, it's preschool, okay? But that was my earliest memories of my best friend, Bhavesh. Like, what was interesting was when I look at some of the reasons why he was my best friend, I didn't realize it at the time because I wasn't necessarily walking in a faith of my own at that time. But my parents would let me go hang out with Bhavesh because his parents and my parents had that conversation and we had the same convictions. But like, what was really cool was like we had a commonality in our love for soccer, our love for movies, and there were different things that we had in common. How many of you can identify that as being a reason why you have the friends that you have? You have something in common. There's a commonality that's there. But I want to invite you to understand that a biblical friendship is more than just having something in common. And so we're going to look at John chapter 15 as our model for what biblical friendship looks like. Now, actually, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking about this, he starts the chapter off. If you have your Bible, you can check it out. He starts talking about, in verse 1, I am the vine. How many of you are familiar with that verse? John chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Okay, so he talks about us being like branches, branching off of the vine. So in order for us to be in this situation where he's talking about friendship from a biblical perspective, what he's beginning to express here is the importance of our connectivity to the vine, okay? And so as he's talking about this, what he expresses is that those who are connected to him will be pruned so that they can bear more fruit. And then those who don't bear fruit are cut and cast into the fire. So it's interesting, right? Like, because before Jesus starts talking about friendship, he talks about this connectivity, firstly, being connected to Jesus. Then secondly, he talks about cutting. So connection, everybody say connection. And then secondly, cutting. So either way, you're going to be cut. How many of you have felt that in your life? That you can either be cut off or pruned. This is what this passage is talking about here. And so God uses certain circumstances in your life within our friendship with Him to either cut us off or to prune us so that we will bear more fruit. I was just sharing with the worship team this morning, a lot of my own personal devotion has been around the area of spiritual formation. And this morning, my devotions took me to Psalm 42, where it talks about the deer panting for the water. So my soul longs for Him. And if you read the rest of Psalm 42, it talks about remembering the times that things used to be hype and exciting. Do any of you remember a time when you were hyped and excited about following Jesus? Maybe you came from a youth camp or a conference or some long experience where you were together with other believers and the worship really was dynamic and you really felt so amazed at what God was doing there. Have any of you been in that sort of environment before? The danger can be, like, because I feel like after reading Psalm 42 is that we can get so caught up in the feeling of God that we worship the feeling of God rather than God Himself. We love the feeling of His presence rather than knowing that He is present at all times. And so when we don't feel Him, we feel like He's not there, when God is inviting us to know that He is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He promises us His shelter and that we are to dwell in His shelter. But people sometimes move away from that experience of faith based on their feelings, and then they don't feel it anymore. Then they move outside of the friendship that they get to have with God. Now, there's a critical point here, right? Because maybe, just maybe, God is enabling and allowing for a process of not necessarily feeling Him, but trusting that He is there in those dark moments for your soul, the dark night of your soul, that He is inviting you to know that He is there despite not having the shivers down your spine, despite loud music and crowds and lights and all of that. In fact, this is a danger for this generation, is that we become so reliant on the hype of an environment that without the hype of an environment, we don't feel God and therefore we feel like He's not. When actually God is trying to prune away at those reliances that we have on hype in order that we lean into the vine. Have you ever watched a plant grow? It's boring. Let me invite you to know that growing in God can sometimes be boring, but there's an invitation even in the boring spaces for growth. If we'll just allow God to prune us in those moments. Maybe, you know, in the midst of trial, have any of you been through trials? Maybe some of you are going through trials right now. You don't have to put your hand up. You may be too tired to. In the midst of that storm and that trial, you look at this weather, you're like, psh, this weather's got nothing on my storm that's happening in my life right now. And you're wondering, where are you, God? And God says, fight to stay connected. And allow my cutting to prune you so that you can bear even more fruit. He wants to bring you into greater things. You know, between, for those of you who are familiar with the scriptures, Job 1 is where Job is one of the richest men in the East, right? He has stacks and loads of finances and resources. He has a plentiful, he has plenty in his barns and he has a thriving family, a lovely family, and then slowly these things are taken away and he's like, why? And so Job is 42 chapters long, and so from chapter 2 to chapter 40 there's this screaming and this crying out to God. I believe prophetically that some of us in this room and some of you maybe watching online are at your Job chapter 39 right now. But if you stick it out in the friendship that you get to have with God, God is inviting you to enable Him to be to enable him to be the master gardener that will prune you in order that you bear much fruit. This is all a part of friendship. But why would God do that? I thought he's supposed to be like loving and what sort of friendship is this? Well, friendship enables a capacity to know what is best for you. The sort of friendship where any of you been there? You go down to Sunnybank and you're eating food and then you get a little bit of, you know, a little bit of greenery on the front of your teeth. Maybe you're eating some bok choy and then you know, you're eating, and then they start talking, and you can't help but seeing this green on their teeth from a leaf, you know, that's still there and makes them look like Mike Tyson. You know, and you're like, are you the sort of friend that says, hey, dude, you know, subtly, just so let me repeat that, subtly, real friends do it subtly, right? Then I go, ha ha, look at this guy, take it off, right? Or are you the sort of friend that says, oh, I'm too embarrassed, I'm afraid of what you might think of me, and I'll just leave it there? You know, maybe that's God's will for your life, is to have green on your teeth. And so, who am I to stop God's will? Any of you been there, right? What sort of friend are we? God's desire is for us to always have his best. But in order for us to always have his best, sometimes he needs to bring the best out of us. And in order for him to bring the best out of us, he needs to bring us through situations that are hard. What's the point of him giving you $1 million if you can't budget with 10? Right? And God wants to grow you up so that the weight of the platform that he gives you is not too heavy for your shoulders. And that's why he says in the scripture that Laura just read, I've got 12 and 14 here. We're skipping 13 because that'll be another point. But verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Well, I thought his love was unconditional. It is. The invitation to friendship is open. But if you want to enter into his presence, you need to do what he says. There's a difference, right? The love is for everybody. It's not conditional. But in order to walk with him, you need to recognize that he is Lord. Who does God think he is? Bossing us around. What's this commandment stuff? See, here's the thing, right? The theologian D.A. Carson talks about how there's never an invitation from Jesus saying that he is our friend. There's always an invitation for us to be his friend throughout Scripture. It's always an invitation up, that he laid his life down so that we could be friends with a holy, righteous, royal God. I find that interesting because in a society that has a low power, a very low power distance in terms of how we see ourselves in society, some of us come from high power distance cultures, and there's challenges on both sides. What do I mean by power distance? Well, for those of us who come from societies where, like, say, for instance, in my culture as a Samoan, we have a chief, right? We address them in certain ways. We have speaking chiefs that we will address with oratory type language. So we call them Lao Tzu Fa, or Lao Af Yonga, or if they are a regular chief, then there'll be a Lao Susunga. So all of these are like status levels in terms of how we address the different chiefs, but we won't call them mate, right? I find it interesting here in Australia that we called our last Prime Minister ScoMo. More people knew his name as ScoMo than Scott Morrison. Scott Morrison, isn't he the one that sang Return of the Mac? No, like, it's just understanding that there's a power distance. There's different power distances in different cultures. Now, the challenge here in Australia where the low power distance, because in my society where I grew up around the Samoan culture, there's a high power distance, right? Because we look at chiefs and even ministers with a certain reverence. And I think that's honorable. But I also feel like in order for me as a pastor, as a minister, to be able to address and live alongside the society that I get to walk in, I can't let that power distance me from showing the love of Christ towards people. But the danger is that it becomes too casual in a low power distance society like Australia, where we are often casual towards authority. And I'm not just talking about pastors and chiefs. Obviously, chiefs don't exist here as in our society. Maybe amongst some indigenous communities where, you know, obviously there's a view of eldership and so forth. But like generally in Australian society, and, you know, when I think about people that are in the military or people like Jeremy who are, in the police force, often we can become too casual in our approach towards these people who have been given and delegated authority to serve us. that we feel like we can boss them around. Even in our Christianity, we can let this mentality of feeling like if God doesn't do right by us, we can boss him around. And so when we read a passage like this, this is my commandment. Who do you think you are trying to command me around? He is God of the universe. And guess what? You're not. Right? And so how do we trust him? Understanding that he is the one who calls us to know him deeply and lifts us up through the power of the finished work of the cross into this beautiful friendship that we get to have with him. He's not your homeboy. He's not the man upstairs. Whenever I think about the man upstairs, it's like the old man that never comes down. Right? That old uncle or that old grandfather that's upstairs. Oh, I didn't hear that. I can't, you know, that's not God. God is powerful. God is to be revered. He is holy. Let me say that again. He is holy. He is righteous. And he's all loving. And that's why when he commands you in this friendship we get to have, it's because he knows what's best for you. It's not just the green that's stuck in your teeth, but the sin that's stuck in your soul that he wants to bring out the best in you. And that's why we can trust his commandments, because he is the best friend that we could ever have. So, Pastor Nelly, what are you saying? Are you saying that hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus, is wrong? No, actually, it's beautiful. But we understand our perspective is one that has been redeemed, like we said earlier. We have been brought up to be seated with him, Ephesians 1 and 2, in heavenly places. So he raises our standards. He knows our value. He says of you, you are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. You are the head and not the tail. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what he says of you. He's trying to bring you up out of your understanding of who you think you are into his understanding of how he created you in the Latin Imago Dei, in his image, in God's image. You are made and created. And to live anything less than that is not to enter into the friendship that we get to have with God. And therefore, thus, even in our workspaces, even in our schools, reflect that friendship to others. See, friendship is a bridge, and his cross is a bridge for us to enter into that friendship. And so when he says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if you desire to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Those crosses are bridges. I'm going to give you three aspects really quickly about what Jesus says about friendship here through this. You know, that hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All my sins and griefs he bears. Anything that we cannot carry, we take it to the Lord in prayer. That's the friendship we get to have with him. How many of you are thankful for that? Amen. Firstly, a true friend, according to the scripture, wants what is best for you. They value your worth. This is not L'Oreal. This is the Bible. You are worth it. He laid his life down on the cross because you're worth it. You are worth it. Turn to three people around you and tell them, you're worth it. How many of you have very close friends, but they're not necessarily in the same city as you right now? My best friend, apart from Tina, obviously, my best friend lives in Singapore. I have many of you, of course, you met Pastor Tim, who was here last week. He's a very, very close friend of mine. And, you know, the friendship has extended long. We were celebrating last week. We were just talking about the first time we met. It was 18 years ago. When I was 1 year old. 18 years ago. I remember my conversation. Even in that conversation with him, he was discipling me on some of the things I didn't see culturally in Malaysia. Because, you know, sometimes you walk into a culture and you're like, why does it have to be like that? You know, typical mentality, you feel like you know everything about a culture. The thing about being maturing in God is you grow a lot more humble. The more you grow in God, the more you recognize how much you don't know. Right? And so having friends like that, you know, I've got a number of friends that aren't even in the same city as me. I've got great friends here. Many of you are very close friends of mine, and I really consider that a gift from God. But what I love about the gifts of God that I see in the friendships that I have is that they see the value in me, and I get the opportunity to also value them and show them how much they are valued as well. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. This is a tough pill to swallow, this friendship pill. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Ooh. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Profuse, abundant. So there's a lot of people who are going to kiss up to you, but they don't have the best intentions for you. So it's a biblical warning, right? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Well, why would a friend want to wound you? How many of you have received correction from a friend or rebuke from a friend, and it's been hard to swallow it? Any of you been there? Yesterday? I'm thankful for my friendships with the worship team. Yesterday we were rehearsing, and I was quite adamant that things needed to be changed, only to find out I was playing in the wrong key the whole time. And, you know, my friend Carlo, you know, was just smiling, and we were wrong. So, you know, like in that safe environment, I was able to apologize. But, you know, I'm Pastor Nelly. I'm always right. No. Again, lower the power distance, right? I was just like, guys, I'm really sorry. I was playing because my hearing is not good. I thought he said B flat. It was E flat, right? So I'm going to get it right later on when we worship, all right? But I have learned through my friendship with my dear friends, Samantha and Carlo and, you know, Nico, that, you know, I can be corrected. And they're not, you know, true friends aren't afraid, like respectfully, to correct you. Those are the wounds, right? Like, it wounds your ego because you thought you were right. And then if you're really a friend to them, you'll receive the correction. You create an environment for people to give you feedback. Okay, let me highlight what Charles Spurgeon says here. Just listen to this if you can't see it. And those of you who are reading on the screen, just listen to this. True friends put enough trust in you to tell you openly of your faults. Give me for a friend the man who will speak honestly of me before my face, who will not tell first one neighbor and then another, but who will come straight to my house and say, "Sir, I feel there is such and such a thing in you, which as my brother I must tell you of." That man is a true friend. He has proved himself to be so, for we never get any praise for telling people of their faults. We rather hazard their dislike. A man will sometimes thank you for it, but he does not often like you any better. It's pretty hard-hitting stuff. Let me ask you, do you have friends like that? Do you have friends outside of your home that will tell you the truth? And have you created an environment for them to give you feedback? How many of you know people that you're scared to give them feedback because you're scared of what they might think? This is true friendship. This is part of the pruning that God invites us into. Secondly, a friend is connected with depth. There's a depth that happens in friendship, biblical friendship. It's deeper, right? You know, even when it's not evident, know that they mean well. They don't mean to harm you. They just want what is best for you. I'll put it to you this way. Friends start with what's up with me so that they can serve the we. They don't look for the we to serve the betterment of me. I'll say that one more time so y'all can get it. Okay? Friends start with what is it in me that can serve the we. Not what is it in we that can serve the me. Does that make it a little more clear? What I mean by that is, like, people can walk into a room and immediately look around and see what can I benefit from the friendships I get to have. Not from the perspective of how can I serve in the friendships that I have. If you want to make friends, you got to be one first. Well, no one wants to be my friend. Well, be a friend first. Be the kind of friend you want to have. I'll say that again so you can catch it. Be the kind of friend that you want to have in your life. I didn't know it was going to be that quiet when I said that. All right, John 15, back again, verse 15 to 17. Listen to this. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you what? Friends. So we're not at a place, again, the power distance is servants. Does that mean friends don't serve? No, we still serve. We still serve the master, God, but we serve from a perspective of friendship, of closeness in relationship. Right? For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Let me say that again. We did not choose God, but God chose us. Well, I don't believe that. I chose him. Well, you had to be within a room to hear a message like this to receive the invitation into this friendship that we get to have with God. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that the fruit should abide or remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. See, you are chosen by God. You're chosen by God to be in this room right now. You're chosen by God, those of you who are watching online, to watch this stream. It's not about geographical proximity, but the proximity that we get to have in the Spirit. And God wants to, this is the reason why, right? God wants that proximity from you so he can whisper to you his business. He has stuff he wants to share with you. But often it's like Elijah, we only hear him in the silence when we are close to him. We live in such a society that hurries and rushes through life, and we miss out on the opportunity that we get to hear him. He no longer calls you servants, but the invitation is into friendship. How many of you have that kind of friendship with God today? As I was preparing this message, just, you know, studying intensely, you know, I was trying to find ways to, from other readings, to say the same thing, but I really felt like God was showing me, specifically this diagram you'll see on the left of the screen, that the levels of friendship that we get to have. On one level, it's having a commonality. So say, for instance, my friend Luff's there. I mean, we've got a deep friendship, but just say for our example, my friend Lafayette, we have a commonality. Lafayette and I both love to DJ. We like music. We like mixing. You know, Lafayette can actually spin as well. So like, there's a commonality in what we might talk about. And how many of you know that's the level of Facebook friendship? I met you one time, and we can have. How many of you have friends on your Facebook list? I've had to empty mine so many times because I'm like, I don't even know this person. How many of you like have Facebook friends? And you're like, mysterious person, you know, like, I don't remember. I've never been to Botswana. How come this person's my friend? You know, it's just commonality. There's some sort of surface level of commonality, but deeper than that is the level of allegiance, where we don't just know each other, but we have a commonality that takes us in the same direction. There's an allegiance. We'll go together, right? So again, I'm using the example of Lafayette and myself. You know, we not only know each other, but we're going together in the same direction, right? So that's a deeper level of friendship. Is that I don't just know you're not just an acquaintance, but you're moving in a certain direction and I'm moving in the same direction, and we're actually finding the benefit out of that friendship that we're gonna work together. Then it moves to the next level, which is sacrificial, where it's sacrifice. And the deeper you know each other, the deeper that you develop a trust. How many of you know the Bible commands us, like it does here in John 15, to love one another? But notice it doesn't say you're commanded to trust one another. Because how naive would that be? To just trust everything that moves. Like if I went up to Carlo and Katria's baby, right, and I said, oh, he's so adorable. I trust you, Ezra. Here's the keys to my car. You can drive it, right? But God commands us to trust. No, he doesn't. That's developed through going beyond the realm of commonality, walking in allegiance for some time, and then based on the leading of the Spirit, right? If you are connected to the vine, you will have discernment as to how much you can trust a person, both on a practical and a spiritual level. And so through my friendship with Lavaele over the years, you know, we develop a friendship where he can trust me with stuff that he's walking through. I can trust him with stuff that I'm walking through. That's friendship that moves beyond the realm of commonality to allegiance to sacrifice, where it's like, you know what? If you need help, I'm willing to sacrifice, whether it's finances, whether it's time. I'm walking with you. How amazing would that be if you brought that mentality into your workplace? Moving beyond the realm of just talking about work or how the Maroons are doing. Oh, we're going to win it again this year. Gosh, it's getting boring, isn't it? Like moving beyond the realm of that towards allegiance. Where are you going in life? They may be going in a different direction. You recognize as a person of faith that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. It's not a matter of demanding that they follow the way, but inviting them through the fruits of your life, getting them around you, again, proximity, so that they can see the fruits of your life being connected to the vine. That one day they will develop a trust in you to be able to trust in the information and the things that they're walking through. And then you can invite them into spaces where you can preach the gospel, whether it's sharing your story of how God has rescued you through his son Jesus and has sacrificed his life for them as well. The bridge. You are the bridge. That's friendship. And that's the friendship that God invites us into. You know, as we move further and further down the track of so-called progression, a lot of it's regression as well. When you consider where society is headed, right? You are the only Bible that people are going to read. And if they can't see biblical friendship in you, where are they going to see? You know, I know we live in a society that struggles to trust. But you worship the one who has proven himself beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is trustworthy. And you are the one that has been chosen to be in your workspace specifically, in your classrooms. Those of you who are here who are students, you're not just there to study. I hope you realize that God put you in that school around those people in your lecture theaters because he wants you to know that they are people who need bridges, friendship bridges, towards the hope that they can have in the true friend that we find in Jesus Christ. No longer does he call them servants, but he calls us friendships. So into friendships. So the last point is that he loves us sacrificially. He loves us sacrificially, and therefore we get to love sacrificially as well. As I wind this message up, I just wanted to land on this scripture that I obviously skipped for very evident reasons. This is the definition of love. There's two places, right, where we find definition of love that stand out from scriptures, especially in the New Testament. There's this one here in John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this. There is no greater love than this. Than somebody who lays down their life for his or her friends. What I love about Jesus is that he doesn't just teach stuff. He is the living word. And he sacrificed himself in order that you would be called his friends. That's the living God laying his life down for you. Man, that's amazing. That's the friendship we get to have. And my prayer for all of us this morning, as we chew on that truth, that invitation that he has for us, to understand that he is our friend. That even when it seems like he's not around, he is around. When it seems like you can't hear him, he's there. He is your friend. This is the invitation. Maybe some of you in this room don't have that friendship with God. This is the invitation. Remember, it's unconditional in terms of who's invited. But the condition is that we enter into this friendship and trust that what he says is with every best intention for you. He works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Lord, I just want to pray for each one of us, Lord, to remember the price that has been paid for friendship. If there's any of us in this room this morning, or any of you who are watching online that desire to enter into this friendship with God today, maybe you're here and you're saying, you know what, I don't have that friendship, but I'm recognizing today, or maybe you've heard this before, but there's a collision between your destiny and this moment that enables us to see, wow, Jesus did that for me, and now I can have this friendship with him. If your desire today is to say, I want that friendship, I want to have it. Whether you've had it before and you've lost it in terms of you've distanced yourself or you've made decisions to move away, or this is the first time you're hearing about this friendship you get to have with God. If that's you, we want to pray with you today. We've got our prayer team here today. If that's you today and you're making that decision, can I just get you to lift your hand so that I know who I'm going to be praying for and who we can pray for today? Just a few seconds. We'll pray about it. God, I just want to pray for ones who are making that decision today to give our lives over to you, to put our trust in you. Lord, I thank you that you call us into this friendship. Thank you for the grace to walk together with you and together with your loving community. I pray, Lord, that you would take our lives, Lord God, as completely belonging to you. We recognize your lordship. We thank you, Lord, that we are forgiven through the power of the cross, through what you did on Calvary, and that we are completely now yours and you are ours. We receive you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please do let us know how we can pray for you. You can come up the front afterwards and talk to myself or one of our leaders. We'd love to pray for you or help you, or you can go to the guest services and we will be sure to give you everything that you need. But just by way of discussion with the people that are around you before we enter into our time of worship. I really believe, how many of you are friends of God already, knowing that you are friends of God? Yeah? All right. If that's you today, which is most of us in this room, I want us to discuss this and take some time to chew on this. Like, who has God called you based on those definitions of friendship and friendship with God? And friendship flowing out of us, who has God called you to value their worth, to know more deeply, and to love sacrificially? Who has God called you to model biblical friendship in your workplace, in your classrooms, whatever it might be? I want you to just think about who God has laid on your heart today and how we might be a biblical friend to them, to show them what it means to walk with God as our friend. Amen? I'll just give you a few minutes just to answer that question.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.